Good morning. We're just down here sharing some truth from the Word of God this morning. And I trust you're having a good day. It's a beautiful autumn day. Praise God for the sunshine that He's given to us. Just want to talk about the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God. And I just praise the Lord that there's a God in heaven that designed us, that cares about us. You know, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God made everything that we see, that we get to enjoy. As we look out, we see the blue sky that God's given to us. As we see the smiles on the faces of some people in the firmament, of those that we meet and things like that. God's given us some great things in life. We just praise God for that. God is the giver of life. The Bible says that about Jesus Christ, without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator. He's the designer. He's the giver of physical life. When God created, the Bible says, in the beginning, as God created, He looked at it every day, and God said it was good. It was good. It was good. And, you know, praise God, there's a lot of things in life that are still good. But very sadly, we look at life and we say, well, Ben, if it's so good, why is there death? Why is there sorrow? Why is there heartache? Why is there difficulties in life? Well, the Bible says that God said to Adam and Eve, there's one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve took of that fruit of that tree. Their conscience was awakened. They became a being that knew right and wrong. They violated their conscience. They sinned against God. Their heart was blackened by that sin, and it separated them from God. And death, sorrow, sickness are a result of that. God said to them, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, the thing is about life that we hate so much or that bothers us so much about life is the result of our sin, our transgression against God. It is the fornication that is in this world, people living in sexual sin outside of marriage. It is the lies that are in people's lives that they are speak untruth to one another. It's the taking of God's name in vain and profaning God's name. And it is the covetousness and the materialism and the lust after that which defiles. All those things have brought the curse of God against us. And yet God loves us despite that. The Bible says about God's love for us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man we wouldn't die, but God commendeth His love toward us. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, praise God today. It doesn't matter who somebody is down here. And you know, there's a lot of nice people out here today, but there are also among us, there would be people that are in sin, maybe sin that is a grievous sin that nobody else knows about, but their heart is defiled and wicked against God. And the fact is, no matter who somebody is, they have greatly violated God's law. We're all great sinners. And yet I can say today to everybody in that condition that God loves us. God cares for us. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ Himself came to seek and to save that which was lost. His greatest desire is that we would pick up a Bible, begin to read about Him and understand His love for us, understand what He did when He died on the cross for our sin. You know, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time where you personally put your faith in the Son of God, the Savior, Jesus Christ? Again, praise God, there's a God that loves us, Jesus Christ. You may wonder and say to me, Ben, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Creator. Again, the Bible says about Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the designer of life. He knows how life works. That's why when God looks at us and He sees us in sin, it grieves Him because He knows sin destroys. Sin corrupts. Sin is the very thing that defiles our life. If you want to know what's the greatest problem in your life, the greatest problem in your life is your sin. The greatest victory you can have in your life is dealing with that sin, getting victory over that sin, having God forgive you of that sin, having your heart cleansed of that sin. And that's what the cross is all about. The cross is all about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying for us, paying the price for our sin, so that God judicially could forgive us, so that God could look at us and say, listen, I offer you a pardon. I offer you my forgiveness. I offer you my mercy. It's in Jesus Christ, my Son, that died on the cross for your sin. John 3:16, one of the great verses in the Bible, says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but has everlasting life. And that verse starts out with a great truth for God. A lot of people today say, Ben, I believe evolution. And a simple question they can't answer is this: where does life come from? Evolution cannot answer that question about life. But the Bible has an answer. It's in the first book of the Bible, it's in the first verse of the Bible, and that is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. As designer, he knows how it works. He knows what's best. He knows what's good. He knows what defiles and what destroys. And he identifies that for us in his laws. He testifies to us about sin and what sin is. And the Word of God is very clear about what sin is. There's a lot of people today that want to redefine sin. There's a lot of people today that want to say that sexual desire and passions and ideas, that's up to men. And men can redefine what is right when it comes to human sexuality and what is right when it comes to reproduction. And yet the Bible is very clear in the way that God created, that God designed male and female, that he had Adam and that he had Eve, and that he brought them together in a union called marriage. And in that, the first family was born into this world, and that family is the building block of society that God has given. Yet mankind are attacking that sanctity of marriage. They're attacking the sanctity of life and saying that we can take the life of the child in the mother's womb, and that's okay. If we want to do that, we will go ahead and do that. Yet that precious life, that, again, that building block of society is taken and snatched away. And that's why, again, as we're thinking about this morning, we're just thinking about sin hurts, sin defiles, sin destroys. And if you think about it in your life, the thing that has hurt you most, maybe more than anything, it's always going to be sin. It might be gambling and wasting your money and waking up and thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I wasting my money on a piece of paper that is meaningless and empty and doesn't satisfy? And if you win, the statistics say that the great winners of the lottery, within 7 years, they're broke. Within 7 years, their lives are destroyed. Within 7 years, they're in heartache. You can look it up. I mean, and yet there's people today that believe the answer is buying a ticket and trying to get ahead and to gamble. And again, it destroys. People think it's a relationship, and you know, if I just have that relationship, that's going to be it. And again, they get into that relationship. Maybe a young girl listening to a guy speak to her about his love for her, and get into a relationship of fornication, and she feels defiled, and she feels weak, and she feels vulnerable, and she feels like she's destroyed her life. Why? Because sin destroys. There's other people that pick up a bottle and they begin to drink and they begin to imbibe that alcohol, and they think it's great, and then they vomit. They think it's great, and then they beat their child. They think it's great and it destroys their marriage. They think it's great, and it's the very thing that is destroying them. There's a young person that thinks, hey, drugs will satisfy. They listen to a friend that tries to get them to take this drug or that drug, and they begin to take that. They get addicted to it. They have to steal to satisfy their lust and their craving that their body has that it didn't have before, but then it's addicted to an awful substance because they let that thing into their life, and that thing is sin, and sin destroys. If you don't believe that, walk down through the gardens here and see those that their life is wrecked because of alcohol. Their life is wrecked because of drugs, and these things are destroying. You might think, well, Ben, why doesn't the government stop that? Look what they did with COVID-19. I mean, they jumped in there. They said, wear masks. They said, everybody stay home. They said, nobody can go to work. And everybody obeyed. But, you know, alcohol is the biggest burden on society. Alcohol is destroying lives. It's destroying families. The NHS would tell you that alcohol is one of the number one problems that they are facing. Yet where's the government when it comes to alcohol? Where the government is making money off of alcohol, trying to get ahead by alcohol. They don't step in and say, right, we're going to solve this problem because our society is defiled. My boys are at the dentist's office today, and at the dentist's office, if they walked out of that place like a drunkard walks out of a pub, and they stumbled and they fell and they fought and they cursed and all these things, we'd shut the dentist's office down and say, we can't have a place like that where people are defiled, and yet we've got pubs that are putting people out on the street drunk and putting them out to fight and putting them out defiled, and it's a scourge on society, but nobody cares. Again, you might say, well, Ben, again, the government is the answer. If people are being hurt so much by gambling and these things, why don't we get the government involved? Why don't we have them stop it? The reason they don't stop it is because they're making tons of money off of people. Then they have these ideas like thank you for playing the national lottery because we're donating this and donating that. No, they're not. They're robbing people, and it's poor people that are losing out. And what is it? It's sin. And people think sin will satisfy Saul Gamble. They think sin will satisfy, so they get into drugs. They think sin will satisfy, so they get into alcohol, and it's destroying. And again, you might say, Ben, why doesn't the government get involved? The government is involved in sin. The government's making a lot of money off of sin. But it's the very thing that defiles. It's the thing that destroys. You know, praise God, there's a God that cares. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Alcohol does not satisfy. That ticket does not satisfy for gambling. That relationship of fornication does not satisfy because it's outside the bonds of marriage. There is guilt. There is lack of trust. There is broken families. There is divorce. There are kids looking up and saying, why don't my mom and dad commit themselves one to another in the bonds of marriage? And the reason is because of sin. But that sin that they want, that sin that they desire, that sin that they think will satisfy, that sin is the very thing that destroys their life. You know, there are so many things that are like that in life that mankind look at and think, if I just do that, it's going to satisfy. If I just watch that pornography and see that immorality and see that adultery and see that fornication, surely that will satisfy. But they go back and it's got to be worse. They go back, it's got to be worse. And their mind is defiled and their heart is corrupted. They feel guilty. They feel dirty. And yet they go after it again and again and again. We have a society that says it's okay. We have the most defiled junk on our telly. We got the most defiled junk in the hands of our kids. We got kids that we're handing little devices to that they can surf the internet and they can get involved in pornography and all the wickedness and fornication that's out there. Their little hearts are corrupted from their youth, and nobody's burdened about it. Nobody cares about it. In fact, there's a lot of people today that walk by, they laugh about it, they mock it, they think it's something great and something funny. But that little young person has a defiled heart, has a wicked heart, has a corrupt mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when you listen to the defilement that's coming out of the youth of our day and the wicked profanity that's in their mouth and the taking of God's name in vain, understand this. We live in a society that is corrupt. We live in a society that is wicked. We live in a society that is against God. But I want to praise God today that there's a remedy. Jesus Christ, despite that wickedness, despite that defilement, despite that corruption, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's amazing today that Jesus can look at us at all defiled in our sin with a heart against God. Just the unbelief of our day. Think about the unbelief in the eyes of a holy God, a God that created us, a God that designed us, a God that made us. And yet there are so many people today that say, I glorify science and my God is science. And I say science this and science that, as long as science doesn't contradict what I want to do with my life. There are people that believe science, and yet they think that a man in a relationship can produce children. They think a woman in a relationship can produce children. They believe science except when it violates what they want to do. They believe science and they say, I believe science, but they can't see the science of the life of a child in the womb and see the face of that child and see the eyes of that child and see the joy on the heart and life of that child, the smile on the face of that child. A child that is born as a premature, a baby is born a baby because it's a baby in the womb. And yet people say, I believe science, but they reject science if it violates what they want to do because their God is science. And think how that feels to the heart of a holy God that designed us, a God that made us, a God that created us, a God that loves us, a God that knows what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. There is a holy God in heaven that sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the price for that you and I, by the grace of God, to be forgiven. And you ask yourself, why would God do that? God would do that because he loves us. God would do that because he cares about us. God would do that because he understands that as much as somebody thinks, I've got to have that sin, I've got to live my life this way that's against God and reprobate against God and hard-hearted against God, yet despite that, you know what? God looks out and says, look, that is the very thing that is hurting your life. That is the very thing that is destroying your life. Jesus Christ came to set us free from that. Praise God. What a gracious God. You know, amazing week today, despite the hardness in the hearts of the people here in Scotland. And God looks at us and surely he sees today. They don't care. They're not thinking about me. They profane the Sabbath. They act as if Sunday is just a fun day. They go out, they party, they go out, they shop. They don't stop and thank God for their food. They don't thank God for their life. They don't thank God for their relationship. And can you imagine today when that God looking down looks at us and understands that our heart is so hard against God? God looks down today and he hears people blaspheming his name. They take the name of Jesus Christ. You hear it at a sports tournament more than you hear it in a church, because people take that name and they mock that name and they curse that name. And yet, praise God today, that very name, that Son of God, Jesus Christ, loves us. He sent his Son to die on the cross for our sin. Praise God, the Bible says this morning, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. But praise God, Jesus Christ on the cross could look at those that crucified him, and he could say this. He could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there are people today, and they could mock, and they could laugh, and they think it's really funny to think about hell, or to think about eternity, or to think about Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you this, God knows that hell is real. God knows that heaven is real. And God knows that he is real, that he created us, and that he designed us, and that he created you, and that he designed you, and that he knows that the punishment for sin is hell. There's none righteous, no, not one. It doesn't matter today. Somebody could be the worst sinner, they could be the best sinner, but it doesn't matter. They're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The punishment for sin is hell. The Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into a lake of fire. There's not going to be a single person that's going to get an exception from the wrath of God on that day when they stand before a holy God. God is going to look at them, and he's not going to have to ask them. But imagine this, that God said to them, why should I let you into heaven? There are a lot of people today, they say, well, I've been a good person. You know, I try to do unto others and live the golden rule and these things. And I've been good. You know, and God could say this. God could say, law, come here. And he invites the law over and he says, law, testify about this person to me. Do they lust? The law would say yes. Do they covet? The law would say yes. Have they lied? The law would say yes. Have they, ever gotten angry? The law would say yes. And it would. All the law is going to do on that day is stand in condemnation upon somebody. I've got atheists, they'll say to me, Ben, it's all right because, you know, if there is a God, when I die, God knows I've been a good person. Well, actually, what the truth is God knows that they've been a sinner. God knows that they violated God's law. And God knows that the punishment for sin is hell. You might ask yourself this question. If there is no hell, why did Jesus Christ die? Why did he come and go to that cross? Why did he come and suffer? What the cross is all about is the fact that hell is real and that the punishment against our sin is real. You want to know how bad your sin is today? Your sin is so bad that the perfect, holy Son of God, who is righteous, who is God in the flesh, he had to come. He had to die on the cross because of our sin. And again, it's a sad thing today. People laugh, people mock, people curse. People go on their way. They think, no big deal, Ben. I'm just having fun in life. Listen, if somebody lives to be 100 and they die without Christ, they go to hell. Listen, what is the number one thing that you would say in your life? Ben, I want nothing to do with God because I've got this sin in my life, and I know that God is against that sin. And if I get right with God, I've got to give up that sin. Let me ask you this. Is that sin worth going to hell for? Is that fornication worth going to hell? Is that drunkenness worth going to hell? Is that addiction worth going to hell? Is that belief that you have that is against God, is that worth going to hell? Listen, it's not. It's something that Satan has handed out to person after person saying, look, do this, just have this, just keep this. Just say, God is wrong and I am right. But the thing is, to go to heaven, you got to humble your heart and say, listen, God is right and I am wrong. Please forgive me. Has there ever been a time in your life where you began to think, you know what? To be honest, I've been wrong a lot of times, and you know, I get it. I'm wrong about this too, because God is right. God is a holy God. God has never been wrong. God gets everything right, and God has said this is what is right. Well, friend, today I just encourage you to pick up a Bible, begin to read about the God that loves you, begin to read about the God that says what is right and what is wrong, and understand this, God's law is very tight. If you understand the law of God, as a person ought to understand the law of God, you would look at your life and say, dear God, help me. There's so many things in my life that are destroying my life, but I need you to bring me to victory in my life. Listen, God is able to do that. You might think, Ben, I can't change my life. God doesn't ask us to change our life. God asks us to change our mind. That's called repentance. Repentance is to say, God, you are right. I am wrong. Please forgive me. Repentance is to look at the cross, to see the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died for us, and understand that he paid the complete price for our sin when he died. Listen, you may not know about the death of Jesus, but Jesus Christ did not just suffer physically. Jesus Christ suffered spiritually. God the Father turned his back on God the Son as the Son of God was nailed to an old rugged cross, his feet pierced by the nails, his hands pierced by the nails, naked and hung up in a cross of shame. Jesus Christ suffered physically, but the worst part of the cross was when Jesus Christ cried out. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father turned his back on God the Son because God took our sins and he put them upon the Holy Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died guilty of our sins so that you and I, by the grace of God, could be forgiven, so that God could say, Ben, do you understand today that I love you so much that my Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sin? I paid the price so that you could be born again, so that you could have God's gift of everlasting life. And I praise God today that at a point in my life, my heart was broken by that truth. And I understood that I was a sinner. And I understood that the punishment for my sin was hell. But that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin. That he didn't pay part of the price. That he didn't pay some of the price. But that he paid all the price so that he could say on that cross, he could say these words, it is finished. Those words mean paid in full. Those words mean that there's nothing more to pay. It's not me saying, I'm going to be a good person, God, I'll change my life and God accept me or something like that, or I'll become religious, or I'll be baptized, or I'll be Christian, or I'll do these things, and God, you've got to accept me. It's that Jesus paid it all. It's a gift. It's something that God offers freely to any man that would reach out in faith and say, dear God, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Friend, have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've gotten on your knees before a holy God and said, dear God, I'm a sinner, my life is messed up. I know my life's messed up. Maybe it's in fornication, maybe it's in lies and deceit, maybe it's in theft, maybe it's in drugs, maybe it's in drink, maybe it's in cigarettes and alcohol, other addictions that are in people's life. And maybe you've got to get on your knees and say to God, dear God, please forgive me of my sin and save me. For Jesus' sake, listen, that sin is what's destroying your family. That sin is what's destroying society. It's the very thing that if you want to look around and say, why have we had pandemics? Why is there an economic crisis? Why are there wars? Why is it like God is against us? Listen, there is every reason in the world today to understand that God is absolutely in a position of wrath against this world that has turned its back on him, that is acting as if he does not exist, living a life that is defiled, living a life that's going to go to hell for all eternity. Listen, God doesn't want that. God desires us to repent and to find Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I praise God again that as a child in my heart, I understood I was a sinner, that the punishment for my sin was hell, that Jesus Christ died for me. As a little boy, I bowed my head and I said, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Will you please forgive me of my sin and save me? And I'll tell you this, I know today beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And it's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I'm religious. It's not because of anything I've done. It's because God loved me. His Son died for me. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Friend, have you ever done that? If you haven't done that, you're not ready to die. Nobody gets to die twice. Nobody gets a do-over. Nobody gets to come back and say, I'd like to do that again. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Friend, are you ready to stand before God? Are you ready to enter into eternity? Are your children ready? Is your wife ready? Is your spouse ready? Are your friends ready? Is your family ready? Do you care today to find out about eternity? Do you care today to find out about a God in heaven that loves you, that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin? So praise God, it's not crap, it is truth. There's a holy God in heaven that loves us. There's a holy God in heaven that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, God the Father sent his son to give us that opportunity. He didn't have to do it. God could have let us die in our sin. God could have wiped mankind out. God could have said after the flood, that's it, I'm done with men. I'll never do this again. But God in his mercy designed us. God in his mercy created us. God in his mercy offers to us everlasting life. Friend, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Listen. There's no greater joy than laying your head on your pillow at night and knowing that your sins are forgiven. Knowing for sure that by the grace of God, you've been given God's gift of everlasting life. Knowing for sure that there is an eternity, that life is worth living, that there is a purpose to life. There are plenty of people today that are going through life and their heart is broken and it's empty and they feel like, what's the point? And there's plenty of people today that are taking their life and committing suicide because even the things that they think satisfy do not satisfy, because drinks do not satisfy, drugs do not satisfy, immorality does not satisfy. It's a partial buzz, it's a partial sound, it's a partial pleasure of sin for a season, but it does not satisfy. And so, and someday that person wakes up and thinks, what is life all about? Life is all about God. Life is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does satisfy. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the life. Jesus Christ is the one that can save your soul. Jesus Christ is the one that can set you free. Jesus Christ is the one that desires to give you his gift of everlasting life. Praise God today. There's plenty of people that think, God's against me. God is not against you. God is for you. God knows that the thing that hurts you is sin. God knows that the thing that damns you is sin. God desires to deal with that sin, set you free from the bondage of sin, give you his gift of everlasting life, help you to know the joy and the peace that is found in Christ alone. Again, friend, I'm just down here today trying to encourage people to seek God. Trying to encourage people to pick up a Bible, begin to read it, begin to give God a chance. Cry out to the God that you don't believe in and say, God, I don't believe in you, but if you exist, please teach me the truth about you. Please help me to know you in a personal way. Please help me to understand how I can have God's gift of everlasting life. I get people telling me sometimes, Ben, I can never believe in God. There's just no way. You don't understand. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have that opportunity of being taught the Bible. It's just maybe against my nature to believe in God is the way they feel. But I'll tell you this. There are people that the Bible speaks about and people in this life that have come from a lifestyle that was against God, maybe a complete atheist or agnostic or even more strongly against God, maybe in the occult or paganism or something like that. But they've come to faith in God by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God's able to do that miracle. Oh, I'd be God's mercy today. I'll tell you this, you know, if your heart is hard against God and you're in your sin and you think there is no God, it would be an act of the mercy of God to awaken your heart to bring you to a position of faith in him. But you know, God's loving enough to do that. God is loving enough to reach down into somebody's life and say, hey, you don't believe in me, that's fine. But, you know, that's where you're at, but I get that. But I'm going to reach out to you. Maybe I'm going to bring a tough circumstance in your life so you start thinking about me. Maybe I'm going to bring some other circumstance in your life where you could look at that and say, okay, I guess there's a God. Get you thinking about it. Listen, maybe the street preacher standing on the streets of Edinburgh and preaching the truth about Jesus Christ, maybe that would be something that the Spirit of God and the mercy of God would take and touch the heart, your heart with that to bring you to faith in God. But God has a way. I'll tell you this, as a preacher, my prayer would be as I look at the crowds that are down here today, my prayer would be, oh God, by the grace that you have, by the grace that you possess, in your mercy, oh God, reach out to these today, reach out to these today, reach out to these today, so that they may know that there's a God in heaven, so that they'd understand that the Son of God loves them, so that they'd understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, so that they would humble their heart and pick up a Bible and get in a good Bible preaching church and say, you know what, I'm going to seek after God. Oh, would to God that would be the case today. Friend, have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you ever picked up a Bible, begun to read it, and to begin to understand about the God in heaven that loves you? May God work in your heart about that. Father, I pray by the grace that you give and the power that you possess that you'd awaken the hearts of the people of Edinburgh by the truth of the Word of God. I pray, God, that people would get Bibles out. I pray, God, they'd be turning again to God, that people would marvel at, that they begin to look at and say, God must be doing something because it has never been like this before. The ungodliness of this day is so great that, God, if in the mercy that you possess, men would begin to seek God. It would have to be an act of God. I pray, oh God, do it to your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.